Hey, Bills fans, welcome into the Bills Wire podcast. I am one of your hosts now, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Make sure that you guys are headed over to Bills Wire to get all of your latest articles on the team and all the other podcast episodes that Matt's putting up there as well. We're excited to have him join the staff and get his voice also booming here as we continue to kind of tag team this podcast together. I want to just thank everybody for listening, and I probably speak on behalf of Nick as well, for everyone reading our articles, commenting on Twitter and Facebook, and even a little bit on Instagram as well. We appreciate everyone following along and getting their Bills news with us, and make sure you continue to do that in the off season. Today, I want to preview, I've got an interview with Jeremiah Searles, Bills offensive guard, here coming up. I'll be presenting that interview momentarily. Jeremiah and I had tried to get together a little bit earlier in the season. However, just, you know, him signing during the season, very busy, I'm sure. He was concentrating, trying to, you know, hone his craft and make an impression with the team. So we never got around to speak during the season, but he's kind enough to reach back out and say that he had some time. So wanted to get Jeremiah on to discuss, you know, the season, how it went for him as a free agent, what he thought of the Bills as an organization, and then also the fans and kind of being here as a Buffalo Bill, wanted his perspective. So really excited about this interview. I hope you guys all enjoy it. So without further ado, we'll jump right into my interview with Bills offensive guard, now free agent offensive guard, Jeremiah Searles. All right, joining the Bills Wire podcast now is Jeremiah Searles, Buffalo Bills offensive guard. Jeremiah, thank you in the offseason for taking some time to speak with me, and I know the fans are going to appreciate this, so thank you.
Oh, absolutely, man. I know we tried to get together during the season, but as we all know, season can get a little crazy.
For sure. Well, so, you know, the end of the season comes. I got to ask you, you know, your name's Jeremiah, my name's Jeremy. I've often been like, you know, people will come to me and say, you know, call me Jeremiah. Do you have a nickname, or do you have your teammates call you something else, or do they actually say, you know, all those three syllables, you know, Jeremiah, actually four, to pronounce your name, or you just kind of go by Jay? Because I have a ton of nicknames. I just think it's funny our names are so similar.
Yeah, I've been called a couple of things. Jay's usually one. Germ's another one that my wife likes to call me.
Oh, geez.
So Germ's a good one. And that kind of caught on in Minnesota, but I didn't catch on as much here in Buffalo.
Gotcha. So just talk about your experience in Buffalo. I know that you kind of worked out for the team as the season got going along, and then were signed to the roster. Just kind of your overall impressions of playing here and how this year went for you.
Yeah, so I mean, the start of the year didn't go exactly as planned with being in Carolina, and I ended up pulling my hamstring and having to get injury waived there.
Right.
But then being able to have the opportunity, I mean, Buffalo was contacting me and my agent literally the second I got an injury waiver, and they're like, hey, once he's healthy, like, let's work out, let's figure something out. So it was cool to have them be the team that was really that interested in me. So week three came around, my agent called, said, "Are you feeling good?" I was like, "Yeah, I feel healthy, let's do it." So I got a chance to work out the Friday before the Minnesota Vikings game, and ended up getting signed there on that Monday. And it was a really sobering experience to have that, but it was really exciting to sign for a team. And sure. I always heard the Buffalo Bills, of the craziness of the fans and everything, and you can't really explain it to people, but the way I can explain it to people back home is it's about like Husker fans, to
sure.
where there's not a lot to do in Buffalo or in Orchard Park, so they live and die for that team.
Yep.
And that was cool to be around. That was cool to see. I mean, you can really tell, like, when we become a playoff contention team here the next few years, that city's going to go nuts for us.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It's really exciting to be a part of, and it's really exciting to be a part of this year, just to experience it all, crash course, learn the offense. And, I mean, I'm a free agent this year, so there's no telling if I'll be back or not. But if mm-hmm. I am, I mean, I hope to get to spend an OTA there, get to know the city a little bit more, and just engage with the fans a little bit more, because they're awesome people, and I'm excited to get to know them some more.
Yeah, you know, Chris Kelsey, a former Bill, also former yep. Cornhusker, would probably echo those sentiments, and he had a long career here with the Bills. And You know, I try to explain that too to people who don't know Buffalo about that small town, almost college atmosphere. So it's right on. I think, you know, in your short stint here, I think you definitely embraced that and found that to be the case. And you mentioned you are a free agent, and you know, is that, you know, is this a place that you're looking to come back to? Have they given you any indication on the way out where they want to go from that, or is just kind of a wait and see at this point?
I mean, it's a little bit of a wait and see. I mean, there's a lot of moves that need to be made. I mean, they have almost $90 million in cap space next year, so there's gonna be a lot of moves made. But, I mean, I would love to get an opportunity to come back and spend an actual offseason there, get to spend with the wait staff and then everyone kind of going in. I mean, I know our line coach is in flux of whoever that's going to be, but just an opportunity to come back and really start from the ground level and work my way up and see what can happen. Because, like I said, I think this team's going in the right direction. I think that I've been around teams that have been really good, and I've been around teams that are working that way, and this team's definitely working that way. I mean, I was in Minnesota 2016, we went 8-8. Next year, we went 13-3 to the NFC Championship game. So, I mean, it can really turn around just like that, man. I mean, with the pieces that we have in play and the guys that they're going to get added here through free agency in the draft, I'm excited to see where Buffalo can go.
Did you really form any bonds with certain players on the team, any of the O-linemen that you still keep in touch with that you just, you know, you made friends right away with?
Yeah, one of the rookies, actually, Ike Bucker, me and him hit it off right away. Well, cool. Because he's an Iowa guy, a Big Ten guy, he's a rookie. Right. And so he actually lived in the same apartment complex as I, so he would come over for dinner. My wife and I would make dinner and come over and hang out. We play Fortnite together and hang out. I mean, he's just a really, really good guy that we stayed in touch even since I left. And then Ryan Groy was another guy that we're the same age, and we actually played together in the East-West Shrine Bowl coming out of college. And so getting to reconnect with him, because we stayed in touch, and so getting to reconnect with him and get to kind of see where we're both moved on in life was fun to see. I mean, really, that whole O-line room. I mean, Deion Dawkins, Jordan Mills, Jonathan Miller. It was a good group of guys. I mean,
yep.
With the NFL, the nature of the business, so many of those guys are UFAs this year that, I mean, who knows what that room could look like next year. I mean, I know myself, John, Jordan, and Roy are all up on contract this year. So, I mean, that's 4 out of the 10 guys that were in that room that who knows who will be there next year.
For sure. A couple other guys I want to ask you about, too, just on the team. Well, first I'll start with, you know, the quarterback and Josh Allen and just maybe what you've seen. You've been, you know, like you said, you've been with a few different teams. I'm sure you've been around Phillip Rivers when you came out as an undrafted free agent. You know, just, you know, kind of seeing, you know, him as a rookie and how he kind of progressed through the year. You know, should Bills fans be excited for this kid in the coming years?
Absolutely. I mean, watching him grow up, even when I got there week 4 to where he finished the season at, was incredible. I mean, he went from trying to force things, and mm-hmm. I mean, he really matured. And you know who I give a lot of credit to that for is Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley. I think those guys coming in and showing him how it was done and showing him how a veteran quarterback like D.A., who's been around forever, and a guy like Barkley who's been some places and has helped him in his growth while he was hurt.
Right.
I'm sure. I mean, I've been hurt. It's hard to sit there on the sidelines if you want to be out there. And but sometimes it's good to just sit and learn mm-hmm. instead of the whole trial by fire. So I thought he got to sit, he got to watch, observe, learn, and then he got to apply what he learned very quickly. Instead of having to do that during an off season, he got to turn around and do it during the season. And you got to see that growth jump leaps and bounds there from the end of the week. So, I mean, from what he was being able to do of instead of trying to force a ball, tucking it and running and finding out that guys are had to respect his legs, but then gave him the chance to throw it over the top. And so, I mean, he's going to get better and better with that and having a full offseason. I mean, rookie offseason, you don't really get a full offseason with the team.
Yeah.
You don't really get those quality reps during OTAs because you're just kind of, I mean, drinking from a fire hose trying to keep it all in.
Yes.
So, I mean, having a full offseason, being QB1, going into camp, knowing he's QB1, finding a rhythm, finding him and his receivers getting on the same page, and just the timing and everything is going to be easier for him as we progress as the start of season 2 for him.
And then, you know, you made a great point about, you know, wanting to play when you are on the sidelines. You give credit then to D.A. and Matt for not only getting him ready while he's waiting, but I would imagine, and maybe you've gone through this too, as you're hurt, you want to get out there so bad that you want to maybe go back to the tendencies and force things because you're so excited to just get back to playing. You know, so I guess my question is, how do you kind of temper that once you are cleared to play? Is it more just mentally, you know, checking yourself? Like, what is it to kind of hold the reins back so you don't, you know, try to do too much?
Right. I mean, it's not easy, but it comes just from maturity. And that's one thing I will say about Josh. He's very mature for being a rookie. I mean, he came in, and it's like you said, you can fall back into those old habits really easily. And for him to fight through those and create new and better habits was cool. And it was fun to watch. I mean, there was times, obviously, that he fell back. I mean, I can remember one play against the Jets where he was rolling out and threw it back across his body. And I mean, but that's going to happen with a young quarterback. But what was good to see is that he was making those less and less frequent.
Right.
He was making better decisions instead of making bad decisions. And as more as you can stack better and better and better and better decisions, it's going to become second nature for him. And as soon as it can become second nature, then it's easier for him to see things and slow down so that he's not so worried about not making the bad throw, but he's worried about what's the coverage, where are these guys at, what's my route, who am I thinking? And then it's just a checklist for those guys as they go down, and it just becomes faster and more natural until you get guys like Phillip Rivers, like the Tom Brady's, who have been doing it for so long that their mind is calculating 100 different things at one time because they already know what they're going to do. And I'm not saying Josh is going to be able to do that next year, but he's just going to continue to keep growing and growing and growing, and hopefully that's where you can get one day.
For sure. The other gentleman I wanted to ask you about is Coach McDermott, and I don't know if your paths probably had crossed paths in Carolina. Not sure about that, or maybe not. But you know, just knowing him and playing for him, you know, what kind of a coach is he? I think Bills fans have an understanding of, you know, he's a man of principle and building a culture the right way. We hear that over and over again. Just, you know, what is he trying to build and set up as a foundation, you know, in Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach McDermott's awesome. I mean, I got to meet with him when I first got there. He got to sit me down, and he laid it out very clear. This is our standard. This is what we hold everyone accountable to, and this is what you need to be, and okay. And guys like me, and I know a lot of guys in the league, like playing for guys like that. That there's no this wishy-washy, okay, this, maybe this, or, oh, we're going to coddle you because you're our big money guy. I mean, he's very much held everyone to the same standard. It didn't matter if you're first-round pick, undrafted, first year, second year, eighth year. I mean, you were held to a standard. And so seeing that was cool. It was really cool. I didn't get a chance to see him in Carolina, but I talked to some guys that were with him in Carolina when I did sign here, and they told me the same thing. So he's the same guy that he was in Carolina, the defensive coordinator, the head coach, which I think is cool. That, I mean, it didn't change him. But if anything, I think he's growing. He's the first to admit it to us that this year he grew a lot in learning how to handle things and learning how to deal with different things as a head coach. And so, I mean, as a young team, it's fun to see a younger head coach, I mean, a first-time head coach, grow with us.
For sure.
And so, I mean, I think that kind of builds a bond around the team, around the guys, of like, we know he's coaching his butt off for us, so we want to play our butt off for him, and vice versa. But, I mean, the process is, it's true. I mean, it takes time. You can't build a Super Bowl team in 1 year. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. And that's what we did this year. I mean, we laid a foundation of what Buffalo Bills football needs to look like, what it wants to be, and if we can just continue to grow off of that, then we're, I mean, the sky's the limit for what this team could possibly be.
So the offseason comes, and, you know, obviously the Bills are in the playoffs. Are you going to watch, and have you watched any of the postseason action thus far?
Yeah, I watched all the games this week, mostly just because I still got guys that are my buddies that are still playing.
Right.
I mean, I got guys on the Chargers that I played with that are still there, and you get to watch them play. I got buddies on the Ravens that I played with in college and played with in the league. And so, I mean, I've been in the league. I'll be going into my sixth year next year. So, I mean, you kind of create yourself a network when you've been around how I've been around. And so you get to meet guys and see guys. So it's fun to watch your buddies have success. It's fun to watch teams that you've been with or guys that you know out there doing your thing. And, I mean, it kind of gives you a little motivation for not wanting to sit on your butt and watch them next year.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch it and you're like, man, I mean, I was lucky enough to go, like I said, to the NFC Championship game in 2017. And it's like, man, I just want to get back to that. And I mean, I know guys like Kyle Williams who've never been there, and he played in the league 13 years. And so, I mean, it's that hunger to want to get back to where you're watching, because it is a once in a lifetime opportunity to try and go win the whole thing. And so, I mean, it feeds that little fire that you have inside you for offseason to just get better so you can come back and help your team be the best that they can be.
With so many guys probably spread on so many teams, you're not necessarily rooting for one team over another, or are you? Are you looking for, you know, maybe the Chargers to beat the Patriots, or are you just kind of watching and seeing what happens?
I just kind of watch and see what happens. Yeah. I mean, I would love for a guy like Phillip to get a ring and to get a championship, just because I learned so much from him as far as work ethic. And I was only there a year in a camp with him, but I got to watch how he worked and how he prepared, and I took a lot of that with me. And so, I mean, I respect that guy, but I mean, I really just like watching because it's good football. You get to watch guys and schemes and good players going against good players and just kind of seeing how it all works out. And it's fun to watch. I think playoff football is really fun to watch.
Yeah, and
even more fun to play.
Yeah, well, I would imagine so. So I'm assuming Phillip probably taught you just how to be a great father, if that's something you want to be someday. Because you know, with all of his children,
all his kiddos, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, to juggle a family like that and to be, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League is a you know, even more of a feat, I think.
No doubt.
Yeah,
especially with him. I think he still travels from San Diego to L.A.
Right,
I think he did a special.
He
makes that commute.
Right, he did a special right where he's kind of looking in a van or RV type vehicle where he's doing all of his film study. Really interesting.
Right. Well, I mean, we used to meet at Wednesday mornings at 5:30 a.m.
Okay,
that was when we met with Phil, and it was like, holy cow! Like, I just, and by the time we got there, he already had a workout in his team. Like, and that's just like, I just learned, like, that's how it's got to be to be the one of the best in this league. You got to just prepare your butt off like that.
Right.
I mean, to watch what he could see versus what other guys could see. Like, oh, this guy's blitzing because he's a foot off the hash versus, like, oh, he was on the hash on this play, didn't blitz. Just little things that he would pick up on was just so incredible to me.
Just the intricacies and, yeah, just, you know, that minute detail, I'm sure made a huge difference for you guys and for him and his career. I want to give you the floor here to talk about pediatric brain cancer and kind of, you know, what you're doing with Team Jack and just your charity stuff. I know that on your Twitter and stuff like that, you're, you know, constantly promoting that. And I want to give you the platform to explain what that's all about. And yeah, and you know, because I think it's a great cause, and so Bills fans can kind of understand more about what it is you support and just the story behind that, because I'm sure, as you know, Bills fans are really supportive when it comes to causes. So, Jeremiah, if you just want to get into the background of that and share some stories, that'd be terrific.
Absolutely appreciate that. So something that is near and dear to my heart and my wife's heart is pediatric brain cancer. So there's really two main foundations that I'm currently involved with, one of which is Team Jack, which I will explain. I don't know if you guys remember, back in 2012, I believe it is, we had a young boy named Jack who was diagnosed with pediatric brain cancer, and him and Rex Burkhead, the running back for the Patriots at the moment, became and formed this bond over Husker football. He's from Atkinson, Nebraska, and one of his things of, I want to meet a Husker football player, I want to meet Rex Burkhead. So he came, and the team immediately wrapped his arms around him and his family, and we actually had him run a touchdown in the spring game. It was one of the greatest moments I've ever got a chance to be a part of. But what conspired from that is an entire foundation, the Team Jack Foundation, which is what we do to raise money for pediatric brain cancer. Okay. And we have events every year with it. We have a road race, Rec sponsors a basketball tournament down in Dallas, and then we have our Team Jack Gala every year, which is coming up here at the end of February. And this year I'm actually taking the head role for the Husker alumni chapter, so I got to reach out to all the guys and see if anyone wants to donate and come to the gala. And it's a great time we get to spend, and last year I think we raised almost $600,000 in that night for pediatric brain cancer. And it's just a great time, and it's something to celebrate, and it's just something that's so near and dear to my heart. And then the other one that I actually use for my cleats, my cause this year, is Tyson's Treasure Chest. And that is another family that I got hooked up with through the University of Nebraska, of Liz and Austin Chambers. Their son, Tyson, was actually with his Make-A-Wish. He wanted to come tour the stadium and meet some Husker players. And we got to meet him, and I got to tour him around and, like, show him around. And he got to play catch with Taylor Martinez, our quarterback at the time, out on the football field. And I'll never forget those moments that I got to share with him that led to a lifelong bond with him and his mom and dad. Tyson passed about a month and a half later. And the ability to stay with them and just stay in contact with them through college. I mean, I had no money. I had nothing. All I could do was just offer them my help and my heart and whatever they needed. And as we continued to go through, and as I got into the NFL and had the opportunity to make the funds and have the platform that I have, My wife and I got put on the board of directors for their foundation, and we now put on a huge event every year. We put on our golf tournament every year in the summer, and last year we actually raised $25,000 for pediatric brain cancer just through that tournament alone. And so we're looking at doing new events this year and finding new ways and just trying to continue to raise money, because it's such a cause that every year at the Team Jack Gala, they put up a PowerPoint slide of families that are still fighting and then families we remember. Sure. And you get to see little kids that you saw at the gala the year before, maybe 2 years before, that have lost their fight with cancer. And it's so heart-wrenching. It's so gut-wrenching to know that, like, these are our children, and pediatric brain cancer is so underfunded. It's sickening to know how underfunded it is, but to know that we're doing something about it. Because every time you can hear, like, oh, man, that stinks. But we are actively fighting to find a cure for this disease. We're not acting to find a way to beat it. We're waiting to find a cure. Mm-hmm. That's our whole saying. Say, fight, cure is the thing that we say for Tyson's Treasure Chest, and it's true. I mean, we want to find a cure for this awful, awful disease so that kids and children have a chance to live and have a chance to continue to get better and not just have to go through treatments that were from the 80s or from even the 70s. I mean, just out-of-date treatments that just don't have the money for funding. And so actually Team Jack has been able to fund a couple clinical trials that have gone through clinical trials and now being pushed into trials for actual for kids now. So seeing the fruits of our labor pay off has been awesome. So again, it's teamjack.org if anyone has wants to go and donate, or it's tysonstretcherchest.org, or if you want some more information on it, you can follow me on Twitter, Stroll71_HSKR. Tweet me about it, ask me about it. I will have an open dialogue with anyone who would want to talk about it. And I mean, it's just something that I'm always going to have a platform for and always want to share and continue to make sure that everyone understands where the money's going. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a 100% grassroots. It's going to no matter what, it's all going to pediatric brain cancer. I mean, it's not something where we're hiding money here and then we're only donating some. I mean, it's going. And sure. So if anyone has any questions, please reach out to me. And I appreciate you for giving me the floor here just to get up on my soapbox a little bit and preach about it. But it's just something that's really near and dear, and we love it. We love the cause a lot.
Yeah, no, it's something I wanted to make sure that we talked about. I'm glad you went into such detail about it. I think it's great. Wherever you wind up next year, Jeremiah, whether it's back in Buffalo or back, in Nebraska doing that with families there, I know that a lot of people's lives are going to be, bettered because of your efforts. So thank you for doing that.
And appreciate that.
Appreciate you coming on and talk about the Bills with me. This 1 year, we hope to see you back with the team in 2019, and if so, I'd love to have you back on the podcast if
that could work out. Man.
Cool.
Absolutely. If something comes through where I sign or anything, I'll be sure to let you know, and we'll jump back on.
Sounds great. All right, thanks, Jeremiah. Thank you so much. You have a great start to your 2019.
Appreciate it. You too.